When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is the 26th of September. And yes, we're going to talk about baseball, man. It is the last week of the season. And by the way, if you are not a PL Plus member, we are doing something really fun. We're going to be giving away a free month of PL Plus essentially through the end of the playoffs with code PLAYOFFS23. That is all in caps, PLAYOFFS23, to join the Discord and see what we do as a community for the playoffs. It is such a fun place. I want you guys to get an idea of it. So definitely go sign up for that today if you don't have PL Plus. I mean, you can get a really good sense of what we offer here as we're going to try to be doing some playoff streams live on playback.tv. It's not confirmed, but at the very least, we'll be watching a lot of these games as a community there with or without the video. So definitely go check out playback.tv/pitchers for that. We've got the watch party for Cole Reagans and Sawyer Gibson Long at 1 o'clock on Thursday as well. Can't wait for that one. But anyway, yesterday we only had 8 pitchers go. So Justin Verlander was my lead. 8 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. I just wanted to give him praise for just a very good game. And he's held up through the year. Yes, it's about 156 innings or so, 157. And it's not quite the 180-200 that we wanted because he was the late at the beginning of the year. But I've considered him a Holly. That is someone not above a 25% strikeout rate with just solid ratios that you start pretty much every time. And Verlander held his end of the bargain here at 8 strikeouts in 8 innings. You love to see it. Do I like him for next year? Not really. I mean, that's really going to be the conversation for this week, is talking about 2024 before my top 200 comes out on Monday night or really Tuesday morning next week. But this is cool, and if he gets one more start, I don't know if he will because it's Sunday, and depending on the scenario for the Astros, if they have it locked in, whatever it is, either starting or not, getting in the playoffs or not, that is what we'll see from Justin Verlander, right? If they need him, he will start on Sunday. If not, then we won't see him, so plan accordingly. Blake Snell, ace is going to ace, had the golden goal, 21 whiffs, 39% CSW, only 2 walks now. 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, and 7 Ks to go along with that against the Giants, as he should. It's incredible what a season he's had. And as far as Sunday goes, it's unclear. My gut says that Blake Snell will start on Sunday. I don't think the Padres are going to make the playoffs, and Blake Snell is walking at the end of the year. So let him have this final game to go 33 starts and seal that Cy Young. I mean, he already has it. Unless he allows like 10 runs in one inning, which they won't let him do. They won't let him in there for that amount of runs. But I'm looking forward to it. I really hope he does make it. I'd be really upset if they don't. Patrick Sandoval against the Rangers. 3 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 5 walks, and 2 Ks. He was pulled with right oblique tightness, which essentially means that he won't be starting the rest of the way, which is very unfortunate because he was chucking cheddar. I mean, 95 plus from Patrick Sandoval, over 2 ticks, almost 3 ticks harder. And he normally sits at like 92, 93. I've seen 91 from Patrick Sandoval. He hit 97. And I feel like he had one of those starts against the Rangers. Like, all right, you know what? I'm just going to see what happens and just throw it as hard as I can. And I guess he got hurt. And that stinks. Because, man, I kind of dig that. But, of course, I mean, he didn't have any control of it. So, all right. Poor guy. Logan Webb against the Padres got the win, 9 innings, 1 earned run, 9 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts. He threw 110 pitches, 63 changeups. That's insane. 20 balls in play on changeups. I mean, he understands that's his best pitch. He also threw a lot of sliders as well, 22% of those, more so than fastballs, 21% total between his sinker and four-seamer. Pretty cool. I love it. He's around 200 innings now. And Logan Webb, I guess he has one more in him. I wonder if they will. I mean, I think at this point, Logan Webb has made his point. And Sunday is always a weird day of, hey, man, you've done enough. You just went 110 pitches. Just please just rest now. And they'll let someone else go instead. I have to think that. John Gray against the Angels, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. Amazing start. I've been really sour on John Gray. We've seen 3 starts in a row where he just looks so bad. And generally when John Gray does badly, he just stays that way. And after the first one, I was like, oh boy, it's not going to be good. And it wasn't for 2, and I didn't expect it to be good in the 4th. But out of nowhere, 4-seamers perfectly spotted upstairs. Slider was brilliant. And then he left with right wrist tightness. What? The Rangers now have Nathan Eovaldi, who's injured clearly and throwing under 94. They have Andrew Heaney, who's been demoted to bulk relief, with Cody Bradford going today, maybe Sunday now. Dane Dunning doing whatever the heck he wants to do. And then they have Jordan Montgomery as the only one who's left, really, from the opening rotation as himself. It's, oh boy, if only they had Cole Reagans. It's rough for the Rangers right now. They're trying to hold on to that lead of the AL West. We'll see. And as far as John Gray goes, you got to assume that's it for the rest of the season. They would want him for the playoffs, but oh man, absolutely wild. If he's fine to go on Sunday, I guess that's all right. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Merrill Kelly against the Yankees did his normal thing. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts, 13 whiffs, 24% CSW. He honestly did not pitch well. A lot of pitches right down the middle of the plate, and only a 42% strike rate on his changeup is just atrocious. But the Yankees aren't very good. He will get one more start on Saturday. That is the plan for the Astros. They made it, as I suspected, that they would have Kelly and Gallen go in the final weekend so that they can get an extra start from their better starters. As a fight for the wild card spot in the NL. It seems like they have it, but obviously they want to make sure that Merrill Kelly is in that rotation for the final weekend. And it's the Astros. I think I'm still going to do it. Merrill Kelly's just been that good, even though this was not a good game. You could say some things about maybe the weather being a little bit weird and all that kind of stuff too involved. And Clark Schmidt here, speaking of which, 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts, 79 pitches. I am so infuriated they didn't let him go a 5th frame, and it makes me feel like they are going to hold him back against the Royals on Saturday. So, ugh, not cool. Imagine it's going to be 75 to 80 there too. He goes down into questionable for me there. And Luis Castillo against the Astros, 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts. Not at all what you wanted to see. He might get another one this weekend on Saturday. I'd imagine he would. And that would be against the Rangers. I will absolutely start him there and don't really have any sort of hesitations about it. I imagine the Mariners are still fighting for something at that point. So, yeah, you're going to be starting Luis Castillo there. All right, we're going to talk about today and tomorrow's starters, and we're going to talk about all that after this break.
Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom has created weight management programs that are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. So stop chasing health trends and join the millions who have lost weight with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Looking forward to today's games. We have Kevin Gausman, Kyle Bradish, Zach Eflin, Hunter Green, Seth Lugo, Bailey Ober, and yes, Michael King in that auto start tier. Lugo's getting the Giants. Ober's getting the Athletics. Michael King just struck out 13 against the Jays, so yeah. Probable start tier is George Kirby, but it's against Houston Astros, and Bobby Miller in Coors. So these are guys we obviously like. It's a tough matchup, but I'm going to still do it. Questionable start tier is massive. Oh boy. This is a lot. We're going to talk about this. Okay. So Aaron Nola against Pittsburgh. If you want to put him in a probable start, by all means, he's been a cherry bomb, and we just realize that he is that. I know he did well against Atlanta last time, but he's just been so up and down the entire season, and you just really don't know what you're going to get, despite it being the Pirates. Lucas Giolito against the Reds. I do like this one, as I do feel like the results haven't been there for Giolito, despite throwing a really good changeup, having good pitch separation. But it's been weird. He hasn't really been at 94 in change. He's been more at 92. The slider wasn't really there last time. So there is a floor here that is very uncomfortable, and that's why he's in a questionable start tier. But there's an argument to be made that both him and Nola belong in that probable start tier. Reese Olson against the Royals is interesting to me. I don't want to say that Reese Olson's locked in, because the changeup hasn't been that very consistent with pitch. The slider has been very good. The sinker I do like inside of right-handers. The four-seamer is susceptible. I don't believe that Reese Olson is this guy who knows what he's going to do every single game and goes out there and executes beautifully. The Royals have been messing up some guys, and it's all a little hairy to me. If you want to go for it, by all means, for me personally, I think there's a decent chance this doesn't work out. For Christian Javier, he's fresh off the best start he's had all year as far as both ability and results. And I have no idea if he actually made a tweak and will do that again, or if this is just going to be the most disappointing game once again that we've seen from Christian Javier all season long. As he goes against the Mariners, it was good fastballs upstairs, tons of sliders for strikes. That's the ticket. I don't know what we're going to get. I really hope Christian Javier is his best self. Braxton Garrett against the Mets. I want to say this is fine. Garrett's been able to go a steady six, a decent amount. I don't want to say that he actually had his best stuff last time. He did get good results. It just wasn't prime Garrett. I mean, prime Garrett to me is sinkers and cutters, perfectly executed, glove side, essentially, and then the slider underneath it. That is how Garrett cruises, and then he sometimes has a changeup away or a curveball or something else in there, too. Essentially a worse version of Cole Reagan's. So I hope we see that from Garrett against the Mets, and I feel relatively okay starting him there. You shouldn't feel too worried about it. And Ryan Pepiot, it's a doubleheader for the Dodgers against the Rockies in Coors. He'll go as well. I think Pepiot's fine. I think Bobby Miller's better, and you have a decent chance for a win here. I think if Pepiot, you're just going to kind of go with it. Adrian Houser then becomes the stream pick of the day against the Cardinals. And this really is the edge of the cliff of the questionable start tier, where I feel fine really starting the guys above. And Adrian Houser, sure, he's just going to chuck heaters and some cutters and sinkers, all that kind of stuff, and hope for the best. And the Cardinals are without Contreras nor Arenado right now. So that should be okay across like five, six innings. But it could be like five innings of three or four runs and annoying everything. So then after that, though, it gets really dicey. So we have Bryce Elder against the Cubs. That is a win chance. Good luck. Mitch Keller against the Phillies. He did really well against poor opponents, but he didn't do well against Atlanta, and this is the Phillies, and the Phillies are good. Paul Blackburn is a decent play against the Twins. It's just not that high of a ceiling, and we've seen him fall apart a good amount as well. Mitch Keller has a higher ceiling, of course, than Paul Blackburn. Justin Steele against Atlanta. I think he's gassed, and Atlanta's terrifying. So I don't really want to do that whatsoever. But if you're saying, no, Steele's been so good this entire year, he was in the Cy Young conversation, all that kind of stuff, go ahead. I don't really want to do it. Joey Lucchese did a really good job of locating his sinker along the edges last time out, and it's really two straight starts of that. Maybe he does it one more time against the Marlins. Tanner Houck has a really good slider and nothing else against the Rays, and that feels very dangerous to me. Zach Thompson has a discount Kershaw repertoire of fastball, curveball, and cutter, and Milwaukee's good at home. I don't really like that, but there's a chance that comes through, especially if he is in a good rhythm with his stuff. Reed Demers is throwing a changeup now, and it's kind of good. Unfortunately, I haven't really seen the growth in his slider again, and he's at 93 in change as opposed to 95 in change. So I don't like this matchup at all against the Rangers, but maybe that changeup is enough. Zach Davies gets the White Sox, and this is because it's the White Sox, and Davies has gone 5-plus innings before. But I don't really like what Davies does at all. So, well, and Kyle Harrison against the Padres. He has a fastball that can overwhelm and a curveball that is good, but it requires him to throw strikes and also competitive in the zone pitches that are not, you know, down the middle, or just he has to not be chaotic, essentially, and that's a big ask, especially against the Padres, who are really good against lefties. But I understand that there is a wonderful upside to Chase if you're incredibly desperate. In the do not start tier, I know Josiah Gray's actually been able to go six innings, and it's against Baltimore, which isn't the scariest thing in Camden. However, Josiah Gray just does not have his breaking stuff, and he relied on sinkers and cutters only last time, and I don't like that at all. So I don't feel like the ceiling is that high for Josiah Gray, and the floor is terrible. You have Jose Urania. We don't want to go after that, even though he had, what, seven strikeouts, eight strikeouts last time, which is the weirdest thing ever. Not going to happen again against Arizona. Zach Greinke, he does what he does, even though it's Detroit, whatever. Cody Bradford is going, and maybe he can go five, six innings for the Rangers against the Angels and steal a win. But Bradford just does not do things that you want. Ryan Feltner and Chase Anderson are doing a doubleheader against the Dodgers, and we don't want to do that. Of course, it's in Coors, and we're going to look forward to Wednesday's games now. That is Gerrit Cole, Pablo Lopez, Grayson Rodriguez, Tarik Skubal, Tyler Glasnow, Kodai Senga, and Jose Berríos. Those are pretty straightforward to me. Tyler Glasnow is as low as he is because he has struggled recently with his slider, and now gets Fenway, which is not a fun place to pitch, while the other guys all have lovely matchups, save for Gerrit Cole, but it's Gerrit Cole. Who cares? Probable start here. You have Ranger Suarez against Pittsburgh. That's pretty obvious. Framber Valdez, who has been struggling a bit, but I like the fact that he leaned more in his cutter and his curveball after the first inning against the Royals last time. So I feel like he should be leaning more into that against the Mariners, maybe even the changeup too, which we've seen the Mariners struggle against left-handed changeups a good amount. And Brandon Pfaadt against the White Sox. He has a really good slider. That is that sweeper. And the White Sox are very susceptible to right-handed breaking balls. I like that one for Pfaadt. Hopefully he can keep off the home runs. Just don't allow a home run and you're fine. Easy. Pitching is easy. Questionable start here. You might want to consider Wade Miley as a streaming option as well against the Cardinals. That should be fine. Brian Bello against the Rays. I don't love the floor here for Bello against the Rays. I do like the fact that the slider has been better. He's gotten four whiffs in each of his last four starts on the pitch, which is nice. It's better than what it was before because it was pretty much only sinkers and changeups getting the job done, but it was only four whiffs, right? We're not at the point of expecting 8 to 10 on a given night from Bello's slider, which makes us more, yeah, this is changeup sinker focused, and hopefully that comes through. Shane Bieber against the Reds. I didn't love what I saw from Shane Bieber last time. The breaking balls were not very good, but it's the Reds, and as long as he throws enough strikes, I think he should be okay. Andrew Abbott on the other side of that is essentially a Toby at best right now, and he really has not come through, as his fastball hasn't been going upstairs enough, honestly. So if you can do that and pair those sliders and curveballs down effectively, then yeah, then we've got something going, but we haven't seen that for a bit with Abbott. He might be fatigued at this point. Bryce Miller against the Astros. Yeah, I'm not seeing the overwhelming fastball we saw at the beginning of the year, and against the Astros, that's very scary. Dean Dunning gets the Angels. If he has a slider and cutter, that should be okay. You have Griffin Canning against the Rangers on the other side. His slider wasn't good last time, and as long as Griffin Canning's able to go like 30% fastballs, which means that his secondary is a curve, slider and change are enough, then that's fine, but it's the Rangers, and the floor is too low for me here. Too low, Witzke. We have Emmett Sheehan against the Rockies and Coors. If the slider is as good as it was last time, then that's cool, but it's very risky here. And then Matt Waldron actually surprised us last time. He got a lot of his strikeouts not on the knuckleball. And it's at San Francisco, so there's a decent win chance, and he can go five, six innings. We just saw it. So there's something to chase there from Waldron, which is really shocking considering I say don't trust a knuckleballer, but he has more than his knuckleball. In the do not start tier, you have Sean Manaea, Darius Vines, Yoán Oviedo, Johnny Cueto. None of these are really appealing. I know Manaea has done well against good teams, but I just don't really buy it at the moment. Darius Vines is kind of interesting. He has a good changeup against the Cubs. I don't know how long he's going to go. I think there's too much haze in this one for me to go after. Oviedo, it's a good slider, but it's the Phillies, and I think you don't throw Oviedo out there against good offenses. Luis Medina, it could be Joey Estes, and if it's Joey Estes and the Medina goes on Thursday, that actually puts a wrench in our plans because we kind of like the Athletics as a streaming option against the Angels for the final weekend. However, we initially had that as Joe Boyle, J.P. Sears, and Paul Blackburn. However, if this is Joey Estes and then Medina goes on Thursday, that means it's Waldichuk getting the Angels, and then Joe Boyle, and then Sears, which means Paul Blackburn does not get two starts. So absolutely monitor this. If it's Estes, there is some upside there. I don't really want to do it, but I might move him above Oviedo. As for Medina, maybe he gets, he's a follower here. So maybe he's the one who gets the win, possibly. I don't really want to play that game with the Athletics. Jameson Taillon, I really like where he's at. However, it's against Atlanta, and you just don't want to do that. Patrick Corbin goes against the Orioles. Maybe he goes six innings, at least has a leash for it. Miles Michaelis is going to make his 34th start of the year, the only pitcher to go 34 starts at that time against the Brewers, which is absolutely wild, and you don't want to do it. He hasn't allowed fewer than 300 runs since, I believe, the start of August, which is insane. We don't really know who's going for Kansas City. Could be Anthony Veneziano, and I don't want to do that against the Tigers in his MLB debut. Luis Patino is getting an opportunity maybe for the White Sox. That's very exciting. I have no idea how long he's going to go. I do not expect this to be long, but I hope we see good things that get us excited for Luis Patino as he goes against the Diamondbacks. And Noah Davis against the Dodgers, absolutely not in Coors. All right, that is it. Good luck this week. I'm here all week to help you out. Of course, if you have any last-minute decisions, go to playback.tv/pitchlist in the morning from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. I am there live streaming, and I answer every single question I get in chat. So if you need some last-minute advice, this is how you do it. Those are my office hours. That's where I help you with your advice. But all right, that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.